Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Look, this is an ad. The difference is it's about AT&T's deal on the incredible new iPhone 15 Pro. And it's real. Guaranteed. That's not always the case with other ads.
The view of a lifetime.
Only with a pricey upgrade.
Flavor you'll never forget.
You will.
Save on the latest trends.
If you pay for a membership.
Shoes that'll make you fly.
They won't.
A drive unlike any other.
If it's your first time driving it.
Breathe in to find inner peace.
Then pay extra to remove the ads. At AT&T, we mean what we say. Everyone gets our best iPhone deals guaranteed. Learn how to get iPhone 15 Pro with titanium on us with eligible trade-in. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
See att.com/iPhone for details about the guaranteed trade-in promo for new and existing customers. Available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. Underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. From Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcast, comes Variety Confidential. I'm your host, Tracy Patton, and in season one, we'll focus on the secret history of the casting couch. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history of sex, money, and murder. Subscribe now to Variety Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, the show where America is the star and the American people. To search for the Our American Stories podcast, go to the iHeartRadio app, to Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. From General George Washington to Audie Murphy, history's greatest war heroes gave everything for their country and embodied the meaning of bravery with their incredible acts of selflessness. Bruce Weigo is here to tell a story of an unknown American war hero. Let's take a listen.
In 2005, I was lucky enough to be chosen to be the new president and executive director of the International Swimming Hall of Fame in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I'd always been had a fascination with Benjamin Franklin, who himself was a renowned swimmer during his lifetime. And one of the first things that I did at the International Swimming Hall of Fame was go into their rare book room, where I found a book called The Art of Swimming by the great 17th century scientist Melchizedek Thevenot. And in Franklin's autobiography, this is the book that he used to teach himself how to swim. One of the great puzzles of history has been Benjamin Franklin, greatest research physicist and scientist of the 18th century. No scientific education, no education past the age of 9. It's been long overlooked about the influence of swimming on Benjamin Franklin. Swimming, as was presented in that book, is presented as physics, as fluid dynamics. And then later in life, a kid with no science education whatsoever outside of this book, which taught him about specific gravity and Archimedes' principles of buoyancy and flotation, positive buoyancy, negative buoyancy, and the impact of currents. And when Benjamin Franklin becomes recognized as the greatest research scientist of the 18th century for his work in electricity, three terms that he coined that we still use today are electrical current and positive and negative. And where did he get it from? He got it from swimming, his experience of swimming. And in the introduction to that book, I read an amazing piece. It said that in modern times, referring to 1699, the greatest swimmers and divers in the world were the Africans and Native Americans. It was for them that our ladies owe their pearls. It's for them our merchants owe the recovery of treasure and merchandise and anchors lost at sea. So I grew up in the 1950s, and at the time, you didn't see many black swimmers. Most people assumed that black people couldn't swim. Swimming was entirely segregated in the United States. But my very first swimming meet in the 1950s was at the Christian Street YMCA, which was formerly a colored Y. So this was, we swam against a team that was black, and the team that I was on, the Germantown YMCA, was part of the Philadelphia Swim Directors Society, which was the first integrated swimming league in the United States. So these formerly colored YMCAs, which were now just YMCAs, competed against the white Ys. So the idea that blacks couldn't swim and that there wasn't part of a history was something that was foreign to me. And when I went into the Swimming Hall of Fame, after reading this book, I said, where is this history? It doesn't seem to exist. It was all about the evolution of competitive swimming, which was something developed in Europe. And it was purely a European sport and an Asian sport. The Japanese were great swimmers as well. So one of my first missions at the Swimming Hall of Fame was to rectify this absence of black swimming history. So on the internet, late at night when I wasn't doing the work to raise money and save the Hall of Fame, I started doing some searches. Negro swimming, Negro drowning. I came across a reference to a trading card, number 129, and the only description of it was Negro swimmer toes survivors. It was part of a set of World War II commemorative cards, a sort of patriotic version of baseball cards, printed by a company out of Philadelphia, Gum Inc. So it came with a, as you can imagine, with a piece of gum. And it was kind of a bonus to buy their gum. There wasn't any picture on the card or any other reference, but on eBay, I found a number of War Gums cards for sale, but not number 129. So I contacted a few sellers and card collectors, and one was kind enough to send me a scan of the card, which showed a picture of a black man and shark fins out in the water and a rope tied to a raft with a whole bunch of wounded sailors on it. So now I had some other keywords for my Google search: Solomon Islands, USS Gregory, French, mess attendant. And from there, the story really took off. On Ancestry.com and on newspapers.com, I found the service records, the enlistment records, which told more about this man named French. The Pittsburgh Courier, which was one of the national black newspapers at the time. I mean, newspapers were segregated. Everything was segregated in the United States at that point in time. During the First World War, Woodrow Wilson segregated the Navy. Black people were no longer allowed to serve as officers or even sailors. They were relegated to service as messmen, stewards, and porters in the Navy. Previous to this, starting back in the Civil War, where 25% of the Union Navy were African Americans, and they were officers and sailors, and some of them were heroes, all the way up until the First World War, when Woodrow Wilson segregated the Navy. The story first came to light when Robert N. Adrian, a young ensign who was on the SS Gregory, told a reporter from the Associated Press about how a powerful 22-year-old Negro mess attendant named French swam through shark-infested waters, towing to safety a raft loaded of wounded seamen from the USS Gregory, a destroyer that had been sunk by Japanese naval gunfire near Guadalcanal.
And you've been listening to Bruce Weigo tell the story of, well, a whole lot of things. First, his journey into swimming, and ultimately to the Swimming Hall of Fame, and then to a story about Charles Jackson French. When we come back, more of this story, the story of an unknown hero in World War II, here on Our American Stories. Here at Our American Stories, we bring you inspiring stories of history, sports, business, faith, and love. Stories from a great and beautiful country that need to be told. But we can't do it without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love our stories in America like we do, please go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. Underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. From Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcast, comes Variety Confidential. I'm your host, Tracy Patton, and in season one, we'll focus on the secret history of the casting couch. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history of sex, money, and murder. Subscribe now to Variety Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
Instacart shoppers know groceries. They know that you can't make guacamole with rock-hard avocados. They know how to quickly find those peanut butter pretzels you can never find. And they keep you in the know by giving you updates about your order along the way. Let Instacart shoppers help take shopping off your plate so you can get time and energy back for what really matters. Visit Instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply. Instacart. Add life to cart.
And we continue with Our American Stories. Let's pick up where we left off with the story of Charles Jackson French, a 22-year-old mess attendant who was on the USS Gregory when it was sunk by the Japanese near Guadalcanal. Here again is Bruce Weigo, the former CEO of the International Swimming Hall of Fame.
Ensign Adrian was the only one on the bridge to survive and floated over into the water as the ship sank below him. He heard voices and found a life raft filled with 24 wounded men. Adrian, though superficially wounded, was able to hang on. According to the press reports, he knew that if they floated to shore, we'd be taken as prisoners of war. And then French volunteered to swim the raft away from shore. He stripped off his clothes and asked for help to tie a rope around his waist so he could tow them to safety. Adrian told him it was impossible, that he would only be giving himself up to the sharks, and French responded that he wasn't afraid. He was a powerful swimmer, and he swam all night 6 to 8 hours until they were eventually rescued by a landing craft. After the story appeared in the papers, Adrian repeated it on a national radio program, and Gum printed the card, and the world began to learn more about the heroic efforts of Charles Jackson French. Through military records, it was recognized that he was actually a 23-year-old orphan from Foreman, Arkansas, who had moved to Omaha, Nebraska to live with his sister, and he enlisted in the Navy in 1937. The trading card described him as a human tugboat, and he received a warm welcome and a royal welcome from citizens of all races in Omaha, Nebraska after the story came out, and a high decoration was assured. Finally, it was issued. It came in May of 1943 in the form of a letter of commendation from Admiral William Halsey, then commander of the Southern Fleet. The survivors felt that he deserved a higher tribute, possibly a Congressional Medal of Honor, at least the Silver Star or Navy Cross. And then in 2009, I came across a book, Black Men in Blue Water, written by Chester Wright. And in there was an interview with Charles Jackson French, who told his story. And I'm reading directly from the book. So after he told of the story of rescuing all these, then he changed from laughter to what the author had trouble discerning. It was anger, frustration, and tears. On questioning him after waiting a minute or two, French responded in more subdued, angry voice. And I'll use the language that was directly from the book, so I'm reading. This is not my parody. When we was picked up and the hurt ones was taken to be worked on, we was taken to the rest camp with the others. I heard they came up with some of that wild race, you colored boy mess. I was told, you got to go over there with them colored boys to stay. And then some of them white boys, what was on the raft, and other sailors from the Gregory's crew said, he ain't going nowhere. He's a member of the Gregory's crew, and he damned well will stay right here with the rest of us. Anybody who tries to take him anywhere had been ready to get a beating and be ready to go to general quarters, meaning ready to fight, with all of us. The boy who did all the talking was either from Alabama or Georgia, according to French. So for near on 5 minutes, there was a standoff, us covered with oil and grime in our hair and all of our clothes and dirt in our eyes, and them clean master of arms folks. We must have looked like wild men. Anyway, one of them, the master at arms, said, "Them fools mean it. Just leave them alone. We got other folks to help." Them crackers retreated and tucked their tails and left. The conversation with Charles Jackson French occurred shortly after the Korean War. The author, Chester White, attempted to probe the cause for such intense emotion concerning the incident that happened years before. French's shoulders shook, tears coursed down his cheeks, and all the author could get from him was, "Them white boys stood up for me." French, according to friends residing in San Diego, was claimed by alcoholism. From close questioning of friends, it would appear that he returned from the Pacific War stressed out from seeing too much death and destruction. So in telling this story, I first published it on Swimming World magazine, and I believe Swim Swam, the two big internets on there. And then I get an email from a couple who were retired Navy. One was a Navy SEAL and one was Chief Petty Officer, Kevin and Kim Mickna, who read the article. And they had been wanting to recognize war heroes that maybe were unrecognized. And they picked up on the story and they started doing their own research. And they came across the family of Ensign Robert Adrian, who was the first one to tell the story.
Tonight, the thrilling story of Naval Ensign Robert M. Adrian, survivor of the U.S. destroyer Gregory, sunk in action off Guadalcanal.
And there were newspaper articles about Adrian going on NBC radio, telling the story of how this Negro seaman, who's he only knew the name was Messman French.
And now standing here beside me in the studio is Ensign Bob Adrian of Ontario, Oregon. Ensign Adrian, yours was certainly an unusual rescue.
Yes, it was a pretty lucky break. And I can assure you that all the men on that raft are grateful to Mess Lieutenant French for his brave action off Guadalcanal last night.
Now, he certainly is a credit to the finest traditions of the Navy.
So, the Mickness contacted the family of Robert Adrian, who had himself, over the years, been doing his best to get French recognized for what he had done. So, in the newspaper articles that I found, French had been recommended for a higher honor, the Navy Cross or the Congressional Medal of Honor, by Captain Adrian on these NBC broadcasts and interviews. In any event, contacting the Mickness, contacting Judy Decker, the daughter of Captain Adrian and other family members, found that there was a record that was given to Captain Adrian after his broadcast where he told the story of French, and they reenacted a dramatization of the events that led to the sinking of the Gregory.
You're taking French? These waters are full of sharks. Keep your clothes up. It's your only way of escaping.
I'm fine, Spencer. You just help me tie this rope around my middle. I'm going to tow this old train in.
And a boy, Prince.
There we are. Well, here I go, sir.
Well, you just keep on telling me if I'm going right now, sir. Good man, French. We're moving.
So a really incredible feat of bravery. French described later that, you know, he felt the fish under the water, the sharks, but, you know, they didn't like him. Apparently they didn't like black meat. It's kind of French's response. And French also described that he'd rather be eaten by a shark than by tortured by the Japanese. So this story starts to take wings. The Olympic trials in 2021 were held in Omaha, Nebraska, Charles Jackson French's hometown. So reporter Steve Lewin from the Omaha Journal, Andrew Osaki from the television station in Omaha, picked up on this and created a little mini documentaries on WKET and wrote about it extensively. And a guy by the name of Malcolm Nance, I guess an author, forwarded the story on to Congressman Don Bacon, of Omaha. And he picks up the idea and says, geez, we ought to do something about it, and came up with the idea of naming a post office after Charles Jackson French in Omaha, Nebraska, in the area where Charles Jackson French lived at the time. And at the deadline for this, Senator Ben Sasse signs onto the bill. And so the bill passes, they're going to name the post office, but the Navy at this point also picks up and names the rescue training pool at the Navy base in San Diego, the Charles Jackson French Rescue Training Base. And they award him the Navy Cross, you know, 75 years after his historic event. And Charles Jackson French, I have to believe, is one of the most inspiring stories of all.
And a terrific job on the production and storytelling by our own Greg Hengler. And a special thanks to Bruce Weigel for sharing the story of an unknown American war hero, now known to you. And, well, I love what he says about the risk he was taking, bringing his men away from the Japanese shorelines. I'd rather be eaten by a shark than tortured by the Japanese. And of course, those white boys stood up for me, Charles Jackson French said. And of course, 75 years later, Charles Jackson French gets the Navy Cross, something he deserved right from the beginning. The story of Charles Jackson French is told by Bruce Weigel here on Our American Stories.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. Underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. From Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcast, comes Variety Confidential. I'm your host, Tracy Patton, and in season one, we'll focus on the secret history of the casting couch. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history of sex, money, and murder. Subscribe now to Variety Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to the city of Bellevue, Washington, first place award winner for innovation in community at the 2023 Unconventional Awards presented by T-Mobile for Business. The city of Bellevue has revolutionized public safety as a leader in technological innovation to decrease road-related fatalities and injuries. In collaboration with T-Mobile 5G Solutions, Bellevue has improved the Vision Zero program, increasing real-time communications between cars, pedestrians, cyclists, and traffic infrastructure to provide early warnings on dangerous road interactions. T-Mobile for Business congratulates the city of Bellevue for their innovation and unconventional thinking.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Paradisus by Malia Hotels and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.